Welcome to each and every one of you amazing individuals who are our Parkinson's Recovery members. This is our April 2018 support group gathering. A heads up first about the postings on the member websites for meditations this week. I've got a topic that may surprise some of you, which is fungus and the contribution that fungus can make to symptoms associated with a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Be sure to check that out and take fungus seriously. There is a Parkinson's Recovery member who's been a member for some time now who had to actually move out of her house in order for her house to basically be divested of all sorts of fungus and mold and you name it. So take it seriously and begin to smell evidence of any kind of mildew kind of scent in your household. If so, dry it up, address it, get rid of it. It can cause great damage. Second of all, as an update, I am offering now for the second time only my new course offering, Giant Leap for Recovery, by taking 14 small steps. So the idea is, instead of focusing on symptoms or the kinds of things that you can do for symptoms, rather focus on exactly what needs to happen in order to bring your body back into balance. And the focus is also on not going out to get expensive therapies or visits to very expensive medical professionals, but rather 14 steps that you can take yourself without any expense required, other than some very, very minor expenses. It might involve some food, substances, etc. So Giant Leap for Recovery. And for members, there is that early bird discount, 50%. The cost of the entire 14 sessions, which begin 1 week from today, is only $98. So each session is only about $6 or $7. The actual cost outside of the membership is now double that since the early bird has expired. But I just want you to know, if you're interested in pursuing that as an option, you can click on the link at the bottom of this particular event page where it says Giant Leap for Recovery. You can register, and we'll be sure to get you enrolled in the course. You better do it now. We've got about 5 or 6 seats left, so there'll be a point here in the coming few days when I'll have to close enrollments. Now, I put out an announcement for please send me your questions, your concerns, and I'll be happy to work on them, think on them, meditate on them, research on them, and provide some responses. I have 3 very specific questions that were submitted, and so I want to read those questions and respond before we have a chance to connect in with those of you who've called in. First question is, I have a question regarding caffeine. Some say it's good for PD and it's a good antidepressant in moderate amounts. She says, love this week's meditation. Oh, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. So, issues about caffeine. On the updates from Robert website page for members, I just posted a recent update on caffeine by Richard Melvin. Now, Richard has Parkinson's symptoms, and he was a guest on Parkinson's Recovery Radio in 2016, April the 18th, as it turns out. And Richard has done a remarkable, might I say, outstanding job in doing a thorough, comprehensive, unbelievably rich review of everything research has found helps provide relief associated with the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. So Richard, in that interview, has all sorts of information. He has basically video on Vimeo, and you can look at the very extensive scientific evidence. He approaches it as a scientist would and has done an amazing piece of work. Richard goes all the way back to the 1800s. I mean, he looks at all of the research that has been done on Parkinson's. And, of course, part of that involves coffee, caffeine, et cetera, et cetera. So he has an update, and I've posted the link on the updates for Robert Page, member page. So you can click on that and you can see a little 18 or so minute video where he describes what he has learned recently. And his most of his emphasis is actually not so much on coffee, but rather on black tea and the benefits of black tea. So that's certainly well worth taking about 20 minutes or so to watch. It's really wonderful, wonderful work. Now, on the radio show page, there's also some radio show interviews that are categorized under coffee. So you can click on that, and you'll see at the top of that particular list an interview that I did with Bill Curtis. Bill also has Parkinson's symptoms. He lives in Washington, D.C., and Bill actually concocted a cocktail that basically is sort of loosely described as a ketone cocktail that he's been using now for some time, and it actually includes caffeine. So it's part of his ketogenic diet. So you might want to listen to the interview with Bill as well. And incidentally, Bill continues to experiment and do research with ketones and a ketogenic diet and using coffee in the morning, added with a lot of fatty kind of extra ingredients. And so you can get the update from Bill if you'll simply contact him. By the way, I'm writing an update to the Road to Recovery book, and on my agenda is also to contact Bill to see what he's more recently discovered in all of his amazing experimentation. Next question is the following. Comes from John. I'm a new member of your Parkinson's Recovery website and just wanted to introduce myself to thank you for creating the members' website as well as writing your excellent book. I'm three quarters through it and finding it an invaluable resource. Well, thank you for allowing me to read your email and your wonderful comments about my book. Perhaps I might briefly introduce myself. I'm a retired 70-year-old man living in Blackburn, United Kingdom. I was officially diagnosed as having Parkinson's just a few weeks ago, although I believed it quite likely well over a year ago. In spite of bringing my symptoms to my general practitioner's attention quite a few times over the past few years, it wasn't until the hand tremors appeared that he referred me to a specialist for a definitive verdict. It was actually a relief to finally be told anything other than, "There's nothing wrong, it's all in your mind." Now, my symptoms have a cause, and therefore, as far as conventional medicine is concerned, I'm being started on some medicines. He names the medicine to be Penel-Dopa. Even before reading your book, I was firmly convinced that the progression of the condition was not inevitable. I am eagerly learning all that I can about Parkinson's and all the, quote, alternative methods of repairing the damage done to the nervous system over the last few years. I'm not refusing my general practitioner's medication since it seems wise in the short term to go down the L-DOPA boosting approach until I have enough knowledge to formulate my own recovery strategy. Oh, that's wonderful to hear. I'm finding answers to so many questions thanks to the power of the internet, but right now I'm investigating painkillers for lower back pain and how to lower anxiety, since these are currently the most unpleasant symptoms I'm fighting. For back pain, I'm looking at ibuprofen versus paracetamol versus naproxen. I read somewhere that ibuprofen is not recommended because it could reduce the potency of these other medications, yet others report it might be beneficial in preventing Parkinson's? So is the paracetamol a better choice? What do you believe? So let me stop there. You have another kind of question that you're asking. You're asking me to respond to questions that are specific to medications. And so I really want to report and make clear to everyone that I am not a medical doctor. So I'm not qualified and I'm certainly not certified to speak to specifically respond to that kind of question. They're best addressed to medical professionals who are the people who prescribe medicines. I can speak more generally about the issue of painkillers, which you might find to be a very different type of perspective. If we just focus on ibuprofen, which at least in the United States is available over the counter, It does, in fact, reduce inflammation. There's no doubt about that for most people, not all. However, ibuprofen has a terrible impact on the liver. So it creates, in part we could use the word damage, but it also just loads up the liver with lots and lots of toxins, side effects of the actual medication itself. So there are significant costs to be incurred, I know at least as far as ibuprofen is concerned. And I'm guessing, although I've not investigated these other medications, that's the case for them as well. Now, it sounds like you are dedicated and focused on finding ways to suppress your lower back pain. Now, remember, what you're looking at here are temporary measures. So it's like taking an aspirin. You take the aspirin, the pain goes away for a while. But if it cause has not been addressed, the pain will resurface. You'll have to take more aspirin or whatever medicines you are using to suppress the pain. Generally speaking, if you look at all of the narcotics that are prescribed that are known as painkillers, the more recent research that's looked at the effectiveness of those alternatives or options is quite frightening, quite frankly. The recent research indicates that not only do the painkillers not do much good for people, but they actually create more pain in the long run. So look at that research and, of course, make your own decision. My own perspective speaking and talking from the perspective of a researcher is if I had lower back pain, I would stay away from attempts to suppress the pain. And what I would do instead is basically begin to ask the question, well, why does the pain exist? If it is in your lower back, which means probably around your hip area, there's a very good chance that one of the factors at play happens to be trauma. And so one of the ways to address the pain is to begin to work on the issues of whatever trauma you might have experienced in your life and release that particular trauma that is buried like super glue to the tissues of your lower back. In other words, there's a reason why the pain exists, and it's oftentimes these traumatic experiences. There's some wonderful books on how to obtain relief from pain, and most of them have a common theme. What they basically will say is, okay, you've got the physical pain, but if you will drop just under the physical pain, there is an emotional component to the pain. So it helps to be able to simply acknowledge it's not just the physical aspect, but rather the emotional aspect that is at play here. And once you are able to dip in and connect with that emotional pain, you can clear it. And that reduces the pain significantly. You go on here to say, on the anxiety front, I have tried hypnotherapy and meditation to little effect. That's too bad. Sometimes those do help people. For now, I'm taking a skull cap tincture and valerian root capsules. We've heard reports from herbalists can be very useful. While I delve deeper into this aspect of my Parkinson's, hopefully there's something out there that totally clobbers anxiety. Isn't that the truth? So I would just generally suggest to you, since you live in the Great Britain, that there is a therapy that you might want to consider, particularly when it comes to the issue of pain. You can get some energy healing work that can be very beneficial. Cranial sacral work can be very beneficial. But it's also often an issue of a lack of oxygen to those particular cells. So one therapy you might investigate is called the Beamer, B-E-M-E-R. It's designed to oxygenate the cells. Some research evidence would suggest that it can provide relief from some symptoms, and it might provide relief from yours. The Beamer is in pretty widespread use in Great Britain and in Europe. It's in little use here in the United States. So you should be able, in a nearby neighborhood, to be able to find somebody who has a Beamer. I would begin to have some experience with that. Get somebody to help you start using it. The sessions don't cost that much, And better yet, I might even suggest that if you're called out to pursue this therapy, some of these distributors for Beamers actually rent their Beamer to you for like a month at a particular cost. I think it'd be worth considering that as an option, that is just renting a Beamer for a couple of months. It has a sleep particular program that can be extremely useful for healing the body. It takes the body down to those deep levels of sleep. So instead of making an outright decision to, okay, you'll purchase that particular unit, it cost about $6,000, so it's a bit on the expensive side. I think for you, you might want to see if you can't find someone who would rent you a Beamer unit, or at least have some sessions initially. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that a session is going to provide you with any kind of an instant relief from the pain, but over time, I'm suggesting that might be a particular therapy that would be useful. Now, as far as anxiety goes, again, I think what in the question that you've asked, you are really focused on some kind of approaches, medicines or supplements that will rub out, destroy whatever anxiety exists. Well, again, those are all temporary. And again, to repeat myself, they tend to make the situation worse. So I think the way to basically, quote, clobber anxiety, I love your term, is to basically realize that it's really going to be all up to you. There's some steps that you can take, some practical steps you can take when you're feeling anxious or having anxiety attacks that will reduce that seething sense of anxiety significantly. We actually do teach that in Giant Leap for Recovery, those particular steps that research has proven really make a big difference. My wife teaches those to her clients who have PTSD and anxiety off the charts, and they make a huge difference. And so there are steps that you can take yourself that will all of a sudden basically reset your disposition toward that high anxiety. And what happens is you can pretty quickly turn off the what's called sympathetic nervous system that is churning nonstop. That's what's causing all of this anxiousness. And then it reactivates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is that rest and relax and lay back kind of nervous system. That's what you need. You need to turn down the volume of the sympathetic and turn up the volume of the parasympathetic. Medications don't do that, but you can. So I would suggest, okay, get serious about learning the kind of steps that you can take that will indeed make a difference in terms of your ability to come back to a place of rest and balance and calm. We have our third question that I want to read, and then I'll go to any questions that have been submitted in our panel, and then I'll open up our discussion to those of you who've called in. This particular question is as following. I intend to be present for the Monday support group meeting gathering. Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. I have two questions about supplements that my daughter is taking for Parkinson's disease. Do you know anything about mercunopurines? She is taking 14 a day and seems to have improvement, but it is not total. She's also taking a lot of other supplements. And then the second question is, she read about, quote, Recover Gold, a supplement that is supported by research for Parkinson's disease, and is wanting to take it pretty soon. Did you hear about this supplement? Do you get feedback about it? So both of your questions are specific to supplements that you are wondering might or might not be useful for your daughter. Now, in my research for this question, I actually needed to provide a little more information, and so I did get some. Her daughter is 31 years old, so we're talking about a very young onset situation. She was told to be probably the youngest in the province of Quebec. She took medication to help her with milk production. Domperidone, known to have possible secondary effects of Parkinson's. Her daughter is now 18 months old. Her companion and father of their children is very dedicated to them. And then I also actually ask another follow-up question, which was, what were the symptoms? And they are tremors, trembling, stiffness, lack of balance, and a bit of cognitive loss. So for the limited information I have here, the thoughts that I have for you are that very clearly this particular prescription medication that you list is associated with side effects that are some of what she's been experiencing. You say that she took medication to help with milk production, so you don't say she's taking it now. I would say, based on that suspicion and your suspicion that the medication might have been causing some of the problems, that good idea to stop taking that medication with the consultation and help and assistance of her doctor. So you're asking specific questions about a couple of supplements, and I guess I, after thinking about this for actually quite a long time, my sense is that she's focused on trying to find something that can she can take, because she's very, very busy and has a full plate on her daily activities, that would somehow solve the problem. So I want to say that these particular medicines are very specific. Mucuna-purines is not something that is prescribed necessarily, although there is a medical form of mucuna-purines now, because so many people were taking it off the market. It is a medicine, okay? It's not necessarily prescription unless you do get that through your medical doctor. It's a little better than prescription medicines because it doesn't have as many side effects, but it is a medicine. And the other issue with mucuna-purines that's really pretty significant is that there are a lot of commercial sources of mucuna-purines out there, and yet the potency of what you actually purchase is very, very limited. So you're getting a very little result from a huge investment. So the quality of mucuna-purines is in many, many sources questionable. In some cases, I've heard listeners tell me that they purchased it and they got a really pretty wonderful temporary relief for several weeks. They ordered some more, it came, and then all of a sudden it wasn't working. In other words, I guess they felt like the second batch flopped, but the first was pretty good. The problem is that the Mucurian product is basically grown commercially, and that's another reason why it has very limited energetic charge. And then the second particular supplement, Recover Gold, I looked at the website and studied that pretty extensively. I have to tell you that my sense about that was uneasy, because there's the inference, not explicitly stated, that there had been research on that supplement as it might affect the symptoms of Parkinson's disease. In other words, did you have a sample of subjects who used the supplement versus those who didn't? And was there any positive result? Well, no, they don't have any such research at all. There is no research to back that. What they're saying is that some of the ingredients in that product have been shown by research to provide some relief from symptoms associated with the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. That's it. And now, the next thing I want to say is, they selected certain ingredients, and if you look at the ingredients, so you can get those separately from a health food store. And then if you actually look at, for example, Richard Melvin's summary of research, you'll be quite surprised to learn that the ingredients in their product are actually a very small number of supplements and ingredients that research has shown can help suppress symptoms of Parkinson's disease. It's actually a tiny number of the ingredients. Now, the third comment I've got is, I looked at the price of that and I thought, oh my God, that's a lot of money to spend for a supplement. So I felt, and this may be unfair, again, I'm not a medical doctor, I'm just a person who's a researcher, I kind of felt like it's a pretty high price to pay for a lot of supplements that you can get for much less off market, and the selection that they've had in there of supplements is actually a small proportion of supplements that research has shown can help provide relief from symptoms of Parkinson's disease. Now, having said all of that, because you've asked questions about how can you suppress the symptoms, your daughter is young. She's 31 years old. I really have this strong sense that a better approach for her, her husband, her child, and you, her mother, would be to think about this differently. So instead of rushing out to pay huge sums of money to get something that is presumed to suppress the symptom, and it might, I'm not saying it won't, it's possible that, you'll find some ways, some supplements that will provide temporary suppression of symptoms. That's temporary. So what is she going to be doing when she's 41 or 51 or 61 or 71? I mean, when you think about Mucurian purines, it has the same result as the sentiment or the prescription medication. You have to take more and more of it over time to get the same result, if you're getting any result at all at the beginning. And second of all, who's to say that dopamine suppression is her issue? So if we step back and look at her symptoms are stiffness. If she has stiffness, it's very likely that the cause of that winds up being a compromised gallbladder, which means that there are issues with toxins. So it's very possible that the real issue at play for her has nothing to do with what she needs to put into her body. And actually, that's the first secret of Seven Secrets that I write about in Seven Secrets to Healing that I wrote several years ago. The secret is get the bad stuff out first before you begin to rush and put anything else in, especially when it comes to medicines and supplements. So my guess is she recently had a child. She was probably under medical care. She was probably taking medicines of one type or another. We have no information, of course, about her birth, but that could have been traumatic in itself, and it could have involved getting a lot of medications. It's very possible that the key issue for her is she has a lot of toxins that she needs to get rid of in her body. So her liver may be compromised in the sense that there are just too many toxins in there for the body to be able to get rid of. So I would suggest that a way to approach this would be to say, let's step back and instead of pouring more stuff in the body, and by the way, if I'm right, and again, this is just a suspicion from the perspective of a researcher, it means that her elimination organs, her kidneys, her liver, her colon or her large intestine, the basic elimination organs of the body, are already struggling to get rid of the bad stuff that's already in her body from her past birthing experience and who knows what other experiences that she has had that has basically contaminated her body with toxic substances. And just as an aside, a lot of people are not aware that when they're very young, part of the culture in many, many localities and countries is to have, you know, smoke a little bit of, for example, marijuana, which has become much more legalized here in this country as something that's just recreational accepted. It's illegal here in Washington State. However, years ago, there was a lot of that kind of substance that was sold that had a lot of toxins in it. And so people were enjoying it, and yet they were also exposing themselves to repeated incidents of getting toxins. And, of course, that's still a problem today, although it's a little better regulated than it was about 10 or 15 years ago. So a lot of reasons why toxins can get nested and stuck into the tissues of the body. And I'm suggesting that perhaps that might be a way that she could begin to rethink what she can do right now to be able to address the challenges that she is currently experiencing. So another approach is instead of pursuing medical professionals that prescribe medicines that suppress the symptoms, there are medical professionals that approach the question very differently. And those folks are naturopath doctors who are trained to, instead of diagnosing things, they're trained to basically say, okay, what's causing this, and address the cause of what's creating the difficulty. And naturopathy has basically started in Bastyr University in Seattle in the 1960s, so it's been around about 50 years, and there are many, many people who now are certified to be naturopath practitioners. There's also a subset of medical doctors, and I say subset, it's just a few years ago it was very small, but it seems to be growing here more recently. They're called functional medical doctors, functional MDs, medical doctors. So most medical doctors are trained to, spend about 10 minutes with you, get a list of the symptoms, and then they have a chart that tells them what medicines they are legally allowed to prescribe. They prescribe the medicine and then done. You know, that's all they can really do. And that provides some assistance and support to some people for some conditions. But other medical doctors have decided that that's not the kind of practice that they want to have. And so they've basically moved into more the approach that naturopath doctors have, and that is instead of simply suppressing the symptoms, they look at trying to figure out what the cause of those symptoms is. Now, they're still using traditional medical tests. It's still very expensive to go to functional medical doctors, and in some cases, it doesn't pay, insurance doesn't pay as much as it might for the traditional medical doctors. So there are costs to be incurred. Some of the naturopath doctors use some diagnostic assessments that are far, far less expensive, things that are called, for example, bioenergetic testing, using saliva samples or other kinds of less invasive and less expensive methods. So there are other ways that your daughter can get some assessments of whether or not I'm right and there are some toxic substances that are problematic in her body. Now, finally, if I look back at the other little clue that I got here is that she had a depleted milk production. The question, of course, that you can ask there is, okay, what was the reason for that? And you might be surprised to discover that the two primary factors that lead to reduced milk production are stress, and I would guess that's probably off the charts for your daughter, and number two, a lack of sleep. Well, duh, she has an 18-year-old child who's probably still waking up three or four times at night. So those two factors themselves can create the lack of milk production. So my final comments for you and her husband and the family would be that it seems to me a way of thinking about supporting her return to health and wellness is to provide as anxiety-free lifestyle as possible, which would mean that as much as possible, her husband can step in and take more of the child-caring duties. That family members can step in so that she can have time throughout the week for herself, where she can get therapies for herself so that she can reduce the incredible stress that she is under. It would be to her advantage to eat fresh food, organic food. Chances are she might even not have enough time to fix much of anything other than fast food, which will, again, create more of a problem. So perhaps family members that can move in and help provide some natural food for the family, for her child, her husband, and others that might be involved. I think those would be the types of strategies that might provide her the biggest boost to being able to return to health and wellness. A lot of people, especially those who have this young onset set of symptoms, begin to believe falsely that this is an inevitable condition, that, oh, gosh, now that you've got this diagnosis, you're going to have these symptoms the rest of your life. And most strongly, I just want to say, based on my research, that's not true, that there are many people with young onset who are able to step back and decide that they're going to figure out ways to heal this from the inside out. It can require some lifestyle changes, some changes in diet, some dedications to getting the bad stuff out of the body, to be able to release the traumas that she might have experienced. And just the traumas from the birthing experience might be where she could even start. So thank you for submitting that question. And I hope these comments have been some ways that you might want to think about this differently. And I have to say, I guess at the outset, I suppose I should apologize because you really asked me two much more simpler questions. And that is, what about these supplements? Are they good or bad? And, of course, I don't know the answer to that for your daughter. But I can say if I were her and if I were in her position, I would approach this very differently. I would not be dedicated to trying to figure out ways to suppress symptoms, although that might be something she's going to have to do for lifestyle reasons. Rather, what I would do, I think, is I would dedicate myself to the idea of figuring out what's causing my symptoms and then addressing those causes so that I could heal from the inside out and not experience these troubling symptoms for that much longer. I'm going to now check in to see if we've got any questions that were submitted that I can read and respond to. So this one comes from Ivana, and it's, how does obstructive sleep apnea affect Parkinson's? My goodness, Ivana, that's a wonderful question. And my knowledge about this actually primarily comes from neurologist Stasha Gominek, who has now been a guest on Parkinson's Recovery Radio a couple of times. Dr. Gominek is a neurologist, and amazingly, she does not practice neurology or look at neurology in ways that most neurologists practice. Instead of just prescribing medicines that she did do in her early part of her practice, she came to the conclusion that the lack of deep sleep is the reason why people do not heal from these neurological symptoms. And so you can do lots of things. You can take supplements and you can do detoxes and address traumas, and all that's going to help. But what really, in the long run, makes a sustained difference is for people to be able to move down into those deep states of sleep that are the healing states. That's when the body actually heals. The body gets still and it gets to work in rejuvenating and regenerating the cells. Also, what Dr. Gominek says, which I thought to be quite fascinating, is that she would ask her Parkinson's patients, how is your sleep? And she said all of them would say, oh, it's great. And yet when she would ask the partners of the people that she had as patients, well, how is her or his sleep? You know, how is your husband's, how is your wife's sleep? The partner, the spouse, would say, oh, my God, during the day they fall asleep about 6 or 7 times. They fall asleep while they're eating, while they're watching TV, while we're riding in the car. I mean, they're sleeping throughout the day. In other words, it's obvious that they're not getting much sleep, although they're not even aware of that. One of the kinds of comments that Dr. Gominek made that I thought was rather compelling is that many people, because they have sleep problems, take sleep medicines. And those will knock you out, but apparently they also preclude the ability to move down into those deep levels of sleep that are conducive to healing. So in other words, while you think you're getting good sleep, you're actually not. So in the end, the general idea that I've got for you, Ivana, is it's really critical for everyone, I don't care what their symptoms are or whether they're even associated with anything having to do with neurologic, to be able to move down into those very deep, deep levels of REM sleep that are conducive to healing, true healing, cellular healing. So when you're not getting to that particular level, then you're not healing the way you need to heal. So Dr. Gominek has a little booklet that is available on her website, which you can use to be able to monitor your own sleep and make some adjustments and some supplements that will enable you to get a better, deeper level of sleep throughout each and every night. She does consultations for people to guide them in being able to get better sleep. The other idea in terms of being able to move down into those deep levels of REM sleep is this new invention that I mentioned a little earlier in a response to the question about pain, which is this thing called the Beamer, B-E-M-E-R. It's electromagnetic pulse therapy, invented in Berlin, Germany about 20 years ago and widespread use in Europe, but just beginning to be in use in the United States. And again, you might consider renting a Beamer there from someone where you live in Texas and see if you could rent it for, a couple of months. I would give it some time to see if, in fact, that might provide some support for the symptoms that you are currently experiencing. So let me now move into having responded to those of you who have submitted these wonderful questions, and thank you for giving me an opportunity to think about those and provide some perhaps different ways of thinking about how you might proceed. So we've got a list of about six or seven individuals who called in, and it is our tradition here in our support group gatherings. I want to just connect in and say hello. What's up? And again, you might want to be here just to listen rather than to ask questions or to have any kind of a dialogue. So just let me know and we'll just move on to the next person. So what I want to now do is first connect in to the person that's at the top of our call list, which is Jacqueline. Hello, Jacqueline, are you there?
Yes, I am. Do you hear me?
Yes, we do. Hello, hello. So what's up with you?
I didn't understand.
I just said, so what is up with you? And just want to check in and say hello and see if you have any other follow-up questions.
Well, I want to thank you very much. You answered my question for my daughter, who is 31. My two questions about Mucuna Purient and the other, the Recover Gold. So thank you, and I will share this information with her. And I wanted to say that she's doing a lot of the things you suggested. And she even went to see a functional medicine doctor.
Great.
Who recommended a lot of supplements. Her body was really depleted of many, many nutrients. And this doctor thought that she had a leaky gut. And that is one of the reasons why the medication affected her so much. So she went on a diet to heal her gut. And she's doing really a lot of things. She's going a lot better because in November she could hardly walk, neither move. She was in really bad shape. And lately, she could walk distances that were a lot more important. She could even go and get her daughter at the daycare center, a thing she could never do since she would go to daycare. So she's going a lot better, but she's only like maybe 50% the way to being better. And she was kind of on the hold to do some detox because of the leaky gut. The doctor told her that she had to be very, very careful not to recycle those toxins, and she had to be really sure that her gut was better. So next week, we are both going to, we will be doing a cure with the naturopath here that's doing the Dr. Bernard Jensen's cure. So we will be on juices, vegetable, organic juices all the week. And she really, really feels that there's something in there for her. And now she also has, her mindset is a lot better because she really thought she would die pretty soon in November, that she was such in bad shape.
Yeah.
And she would cry and ask, what am I going to become? I can't live like this. And it was really terrible. So now she even has projects. And her resilience works in a way that what she's experiencing presently, she wants to study to be able to help others. So that's where she is presently, and that helps us, myself and my husband, very much.
Yeah.
That she's feeling better in her mind and a bit in her body also.
Yes. Well, I must report that it sounds like she has a remarkably talented medical professional that she's getting some support from. There are many reports that I've heard back of individuals who have had a healthcare professional who identified that they had toxins, and they rushed to be able to do some immediate detoxing, but their bodies were not ready for that, and they got seriously ill, you know, wound up in the intensive care, almost died. Sounds like your medical professional is well aware of the steps that have to be taken in order for the body to get the support it needs to heal. So I just you might want to pass on to her from me. I think she's got a wonderful person as a member of her support team to be able to facilitate her recovery. And just I would encourage her to stick with the journey down the road to recovery. It can be a journey that's a bit rocky, and so, as reported by many of the people that I've interviewed over the years, some people are just getting better, and then they have a setback and feel like it's not working and want to give up, and it's just that the body sometimes will begin to be challenged with healing. And so just you as her mom and all the family could just continue to support all the wonderful decisions that she's making, and she will get well. Mm-hmm. Make sure she knows that it's not true that, you know, people say that once you get this, it's going to be a lifetime. That's not true. She will be able to address it, but she will have to continue with these healthy lifestyle habits and nutritional habits.
Mm-hmm. And she's very lucky because her partner is a very, very good person who is helping her very much. And he's, I don't know how to say it in English. It's a lot of, it's big steps for him.
Yes.
It's confronting, but he accepts to be confronted with all this because he's very much in his head, kind of, you know?
Right.
And septic about many of these things, but he's supporting her and letting her find her way and all that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a wonderful partner that she has. And, of course, the more that he can help reduce her anxiety and reduce the load that she has and the burden that she's sharing, the quicker that she'll get better. So he can make a huge difference in terms of supporting the child care help and reducing her anxiety. The problem, of course, with the symptoms is that the symptoms themselves create anxiety, and that makes it all worse.
Yeah.
So she's feeling like, oh, I'm feeling much worse today, and then that she continues to feel worse throughout the day because she's so anxious. So getting that support will make a huge difference.
Yes. Uh-huh. And, you know, I'm a naturopath also.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that. Duh.
But he tested in kinesiology if I had to work with her, and I do not need to work with her. She needs to find her way. She's finding her way, and there are so many things I could do with her, but that is not what is needed to be done. And I decided to study in functional medicine also. So I started.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, my God. Oh, what a story you have for all of us.
Yeah. So it's bringing us forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Well, you're all on quite a journey. And please let her know as she begins to get totally healthy again. I would love to have her as a guest on the radio show so she can tell her story. Maybe you can join her as well.
Okay, great. And, you know, we really want to thank you because I think that your website helps us very much, helped us. When I found your website, I could right after that tell my daughter, stop reading all the horror stories.
Oh, God! Aren't they awful, though? Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, they were going nuts. So, and they started reading success stories and saying there's another way and finding hope.
Yes.
So you help us a lot with hope. I'm sticking with you, and she has other things she's sticking to, and we're sharing a lot. So thank you very, very much.
Well, you're very welcome from the bottom of my heart, and thank you so much for connecting in and sending your quite wonderful set of questions. So I want to now move to the next person here on our list, Vonna. Hello, Vonna. Are you there? We hear you in the distance. Hi,
I had it on mute.
Oh, right, right. Hi.
Well, I'm just going to celebrate that I ended up being able to be available on your monthly call for the first time in a long, long time.
Well, good. Because sometimes we talk outside of this and, you know, we can connect in. So I'm glad you could be here today. So what's up today?
Oh, let's see. Different things. I just recently had a sleep test done, a sleep study. That's what I had asked. They had said I had a obstructive something in my... I do a lot of snoring.
Oh.
Otherwise, I have... So I don't know. I don't know how that affects PD or not. But...
Yeah, well, it indirectly certainly can have a big impact. Did they make a recommendation for some of these little devices you wear at night when you sleep?
Well, yeah, they want me to come back and spend the night and be fitted for something like that. But I don't
know. I see. You're kind of undecided about whether you want to do that or not.
Well, I just found out the results today, so.
Oh, you got to process that through first before you decide how to proceed.
Well, I'm gonna go back to the doctor that ordered it, so.
Oh.
See
well, you know, something to consider, and you know, the other person to get some comments from would be that Dr. Gominek and her website.
That's what I needed to ask you. Let me make note here. Do you have her contact information?
Oh, I do. Her website is where she wanted people to contact her, and it's www.dr, and that's for Dr. Dr. And then her last name, Gominek, G, O, G as in God, O as in over, M as in money, I as in interest, N as in Nancy, A as in apple, K as in Kellogg, Gominek.com. So Dr. Gominek.com. And she was just on the radio show last week, a week before, and so you can hear that interview on the radio show. It's listed up on the member websites.
Gominek?
Not quite. It's Gominak.
Oh,
Gominak. And, of course, the link is also on the radio show page as well.
Gominak.
Yep.
And
so,
where is she located?
She's in Tyler, Texas, which is just down from Houston, Texas, is where she's located. And she does do, I think, consultations. But her website is full of lots of helpful information, basic information about sleep. It's one of the best resources about sleep out there, I think.
How can you order her book? You said she had a book.
On the website? On the website. It gets a download. Yeah, it's a workbook of types. And so... As I understand it, every week there's some questions that you ask yourself, and then she can make in the workbook, I guess there's some recommendations on some dosages of supplements that might facilitate better sleep.
Is she the doctor that also has the nasal glutathione?
No. The glutathione, you're talking about the ME3 Regactive?
ME3?
It's got an ME3 enzyme in it that produces glutathione naturally in the body. So the problem, people with Parkinson's tend to be severely deficient in glutathione for several reasons.
In the lower part of the range, but I wasn't severely deficient.
Wasn't too bad.
No.
Well, that's good.
Who was
because
that?
For some people, it can be really, really way, way, way too low. But the problem with taking glutathione supplements that many people are unaware of is that they don't pass through the blood-brain barrier, so you're kind of basically wasting your money. But
unless you get a transfusion or whatever.
Yeah, right, which are very expensive, and of course you can't do that the rest of your life. But the ME3 is a natural enzyme. It's a form of a probiotic in the stomach, and then that enables the body to naturally produce glutathione, which naturally goes to the brain. The RegActive actually has not even been available for a couple of months now. It's been in no supply has been available. I guess the demand was just off the charts, and they couldn't keep up with it. But they told
Red
me
Jack
that...
Red what is that?
I'm sorry?
The RegActive.
That's the name of it. That's the name of the supplement. R-E-G and then Active, A-C-T-I-V. That's the name of the actual.
Oh, say it again. R-E what?
It's called R-E-G and then there's sort of a dash, I think, and then the word Active, A-C-T-I-V. And there's a whole description of it that I built up after interviewing Ross Pelton, the natural pharmacist, on the ParkinsonsRecovery.com website. So you can read up all about what it is and how it was developed, the research behind
RegActive.
Yep.
What you're saying.
Yep, that's the name of the actual probiotic. And they said they were supposed to be having a supplement supply themselves coming in today or tomorrow. Whether that happens, we don't know yet. But they haven't yet shipped my shipment out. I don't even have any available, and I haven't had it for a couple of months. But it's an excellent product. It obviously is helping a lot of people.
So how do you take it?
Oh, it's just a capsule. Yeah, it's just a capsule. You can just take it like you would any pill. I think they recommend two
a
day.
I don't take pills.
Well, then you just empty it into water, which is actually what I do, too. I don't do the outside capsule. I just break those apart.
What's the RegActive? Have you make your own glutathione?
It helps your body facilitate the production of your own glutathione naturally. That's right. That's what that enzyme does, that ME3 enzyme.
So what about coenzyme Q10?
So... that one is quite interesting in that the problem with CoQ10 has been that it has a very low absorption rate in most products. And I just learned about 6 months ago of a wonderful set of like 70 studies that have been done on a CoQ10 product from Pharmanoid. Pharmanoid is the name of the company.
How do you spell it?
It's Pharmanord, Pharmanoid. I can send you a link of the website. And they basically have a very impressive absorption rate. It's a Danish company, and I guess they've done, first of all, a lot of research. They figured out how they can make it so that it's absorbed at a very high rate. Relative to other products, it's really impressive. So I contacted them once I learned about this, and they actually offered my audience a 20% coupon discount, which is really wonderful because some of these CoQ10 products that I had recommended before are very expensive because at least they had some degree of absorption. But this one, I think it beats them all in terms of quality. And the research behind it, again, 70 studies that have basically confirmed over and over again that the absorption is really, really excellent. So it's a good product, and they're a good company. I've dealt with them several times, and they're quite wonderful. And we're getting our CoQ10 from them too.
That's all capsules?
It is a capsule, and so it's not powder. It's a, I don't want to use the word gelatin, but I mean it's a little round capsule, and inside there's more like a fluid. I guess I could use the word fluid. It's
like
viscous.
A little pill.
Yeah, it's a little pill. So you really kind of, you can chew that if you don't take pills, or you can just swallow it. It's a little tiny one. And they recommend a couple of, a day for that. So, yeah, it's really, CoQ10 is excellent. So the issue with CoQ10 for people with Parkinson's who are taking medicines is that's one of those substances that creates a significant depletion, what's called a nutrient depletion. So CoQ10 gets depleted as a result of the effectiveness of the medication. which is why it's so important to take those supplements. And if you look at the research behind CoQ10, some of the studies show, my goodness, people with Parkinson's are deficient and it's very important to take it. Other studies of CoQ10 have said, oh, it doesn't really help, it doesn't make a difference. Well, if you look at what CoQ10 they used, it makes good sense. It wasn't being absorbed. So the research is haphazard out there on CoQ10. But again, I think the Pharmanoid stuff is really great. And for anyone else listening, if you're looking for a high-quality CoQ10, I can certainly send you out that link of the company they really do wonderful work. And I'll remember also to get that coupon code to give the 20% discount off as well.
Well, that would be good.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So you don't have you do have her website. I have her website, so I'll look that up.
Yes, and I can send that to you too as well. So I'll do the Pharmanoid as well as the website. Okay, Lana?
Okay, that'd be fine. If you've got any telephone numbers, that'd be great too.
Okay, will do. It's great to hear from you. I'm glad you could be here today. That's
okay.
Wonderful for all of us. Thanks so much for being here. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Yeah, Robert. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thanks, all things considered. I'm afraid our weather here in Washington has turned sour again. We had a couple of summer days, but that was it. We're back into the rain.
Okay. Well, you're used to it by now, I guess.
Yep, that's for sure.
I don't have anything really specific today, Robert, other than I thought I might bounce a sort of general question off you. Hold on just 1 second. I'm on the phone. Sorry. I think most people with Parkinson's have, I guess, up days and down days, good days and bad days. And I've tried to analyze the ones I have, you know, to find a reason for it, like I didn't get enough sleep last night or I'm under a lot of stress at the moment or whatever. And a lot of times there doesn't seem to be a logical reason for it. And it just seems kind of random. And my question for you would be, is there usually a reason that I just am not seeing or not recognizing, or is it in them?
Boy, that's a great question, Bill. My sense is that two factors are at play. The first factor is that it's possible that you any of us that have down days might have eaten something that your body is basically rebelling with. And it can be an allergic substance that you weren't aware that you had, or you could be exposed to an allergen. Doesn't mean you have to eat it. It could be, for instance, in this part of the world, in this hemisphere, we're now moving into spring, so there's a lot of pollens out. So something like exposure to allergens in the form of pollens can create some really serious down days where lack of energy, depression, et cetera, et cetera. One factor can be the sun. So I know in Washington, it's very noticeable that people during the wintertime, and we have long winters here of mopey days, no sun at all, you can just tell that people are depressed. They're you can look at their faces, you can look at how they're moving their bodies, they're not happy. And the reason is because we don't have sun. And if you don't have sun, you don't have the D3, and the body really, that's one of those basic ingredients that's really so essential. So that's part of the reason, and as you're doing your own analysis, you might just extend out your research program using your sample of one yourself to documenting everything you're eating. For example, I notice in my own little program that I do just like you is if I have a little sweet, so we had a big birthday celebration for four of the family members just yesterday. And at the celebration, they had little cupcakes and some ice cream. Well, I know I'm not supposed to eat ice cream, but I ate it anyway. I mean, it's a birthday celebration, right? And what I notice is today, my vision is not as sharp. I can tell every time I have any kind of that suite that my vision is blurrier, which happens to everybody. It's just that we don't monitor it very closely. So I'll be okay probably by the end of the day or tomorrow, but right now the vision is a little bit blurry. Now, the final reason I think that the up and down days come is not one that we can track. In other words, we can't have a little data set that says, all right, we did sugar yesterday and we were exposed to pollens last night, so today, since I'm feeling worse, maybe those are the two factors. The other reason that the down days occur is that the body is continuously working on eliminating the toxic substances. That's its job. I mean, that's what all these vital organs do. So what happens is that there can be literally a log jam of being able to get rid of the toxins. So if, for example, unknowingly we eat something that had some kind of toxin in it, our body all of a sudden can't process the toxin out, doesn't have the capacity to get, the kidneys are overloaded. So if, like, say there's a mercury residue of something in water that we drank, and the body just can't get rid of all the mercury, the body spends a lot of energy then in redistributing that toxic substance, not process it through the liver so that it goes out in, you know, pee, but rather it has to then distribute the mercury out to the extremities, to the fingers, the hands, the feet, the toes, even the head. And that takes energy. I mean, the body has to allocate a lot of resources to be able to do that redistribution. So when the body gets clogged up with some of these toxic substances and can't eliminate it, then it does create extra energy, and that can create a down day.
Yeah, that's it. I can see that as a possibility, definitely. Because
yeah, I think
that's a process that's basically invisible to the person undergoing it. I mean, they have no way of tracking
it. You don't know. You can't track it when that's happening. I mean, it's just the work. It's the work of the body, and so the best thing I've been able to do, because you know what you describe, everybody experiences, Bill. I mean, family members that don't have these symptoms, everybody experiences the down days. And what I've learned to do is to say, all right, wait a minute, I'm just incredibly tired today, and so what I'll say is, okay, my body needs rest right now. My body is, you know, my body is working perfectly. It's just saying slow down. And so I always, instead of sort of treat it as some kind of problem, it's that the body is working perfectly. It's just that I need to give it an extra space and some extra support to be able to do what it's doing. So when you have those down days where you're not feeling as good, instead of sort of trying to force yourself to do things maybe that you plan to do, I think another strategy is to say, oh, wait a minute, I plan to do all these wonderful fun things today, but I've got to reset my plan. Maybe I need to sleep some more today. You know, maybe I need to just chill out, and instead of being so energetic, maybe my body, you know, really needs to rest. And so that's the other way to sort of respond, is instead of treating it as a problem, treating it as a natural sequence of the healing process. And of course, what you described is a reason why people get so frustrated, because they get on to these wonderful new habits of great nutrition, exercise, working on releasing all the stress, and then all of a sudden they have a down day, and boy, that sends a lot of people into a tizzy, because then they decide it's not working. You know, they've invested all of this energy to, you know, create a different lifestyle, and all of a sudden they're worse. So forget it. You know, we'll go back to eating the ice cream and the cake. And of course, that's unfortunately the worst thing that can happen. But a lot of people, you know, get discouraged. So it's an up and down process. A lot of people think it ought to be better and better every day, but it's not. It's rocky. It's up and down. Body needs time to be able to chill out and relax. And so I think you just support whatever your body needs, and that's the best strategy of all. And when you catch yourself getting into those down days of, oh, God, it's getting worse, is just catch yourself and close that closet door, that negative thought, and move on to the support of your body to say, no, my body is doing exactly what it needs. Thank you very much. I appreciate your being there for me.
Yeah, well, it would be nice if progress was continuous, but I guess you just have to accept that it isn't going to be.
I'm afraid so. It would be nice. And logically, you'd think that's the way it should happen, especially when you're making so many commitments to doing everything that you need to do in order to get well. But unfortunately, I don't know of anybody I've interviewed. And, you know, on the radio show, we've got all these documentations of people who tell their stories. Everybody describes that rocky road where they got worse and then they got better, but they stuck with their program. The most interesting story that I've heard, this was years ago when I first started interviewing John Coleman about his recovery from Parkinson's symptoms. And John's story was that he committed to his program, and John was dedicated to his program for 3.5 years. So some people are able to see success much earlier than that. But he hung in there and stuck with his exercises and his diet and everything else that needs to happen in order to be able to, you know, help the body heal. And he said about 2 months before symptoms all of a sudden vanished, his tremors got off the charts. He said they were awful. He could barely function because the tremors were so bad. And yet he said that he just decided, look, I'm just going to do this and, you know, take whatever happens is going to happen. So the body was, for whatever reason, tremoring because it was, I guess, releasing all that stress that had been embedded at the cellular level. And he said after 2 months, the mysterious result was his tremor got less and less and less, and in about 2 or 2.5 days, it was gone. And all the symptoms had finally resolved. And he said the last symptom to resolve for him was the tremor. Everything else resolved first. So his journey is interesting in that my research reveals, and of course this is just what I've been able to find after 14 years, he was really the first. He was really the pioneer in the mid-1990s who said, oh, wait a minute. You know, I'm going to do this differently. And he launched on this program. He just started experimenting with one thing after another, found things that worked, and it, you know, finally got well. So it's quite an amazing story. But Rocky is right, and it's so discouraging to so many people because, you know, they feel like, oh, gee, this is never going to happen. And, of course, the thought forms are undoing for them.
Yeah, well, his Coleman story is particularly inspiring because he didn't have anybody around him encouraging him, just like you're encouraging people on this format. He was by himself, so that makes it particularly courageous on his part.
It's remarkable, Bill. It really is. He's a remarkable man, and he wasn't a naturopath doctor when he was doing all of this. I mean, he was just a person who always wanted to be a naturopath doctor. That was his goal. So when he got well, he got the training and got his certification to be a naturopath. And, of course, now he helps people with Parkinson's, not just Parkinson's, other things as well. Yeah, it's a remarkable story of dedication and commitment of somebody that just wasn't going to give up no matter what.
Right. Very inspiring.
Yeah, that's what I've always thought. And, of course, it doesn't take everybody 3.5 years, but it did him. So, interesting story. Of course, he was experimenting, and so some of the things he tried were not helpful. So it might have taken him longer just because he was breaking the ground for the rest of the people who confront similar kind of symptoms.
Right. Okay, well, thank you, Robert. That's very helpful.
Well, thank you, Bill, for being here and being a part of our Parkinson's Recovery Initiative. So, hello, Jane from Italy. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We sure can. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm laying out. I'm going to get up. I'm laying on the floor, but it's late here. I'm okay. I'm trying to learn to practice compassion with myself. I was very interested in what you were talking to Bill about with the rocky road, because I do find it's very up and down for me. And it's even up and down in a day. And I'm beginning to notice that right after lunch, I have a definite slump. And I generally take a nap, but I'm not sure that the nap is actually helpful because I wake up feeling worse.
Cool.
So I'm just kind of watching and seeing what's going on. Generally about from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock is the hardest time for me.
Oh, that's interesting, Jane. So there is a what's called a biological clock. And what that clock tells us is the organs that are compromised that are causing the problem. And there are different times that are listed as being indicators that that's the organ that's actually compromised. So if you have, if the problem occurs typically around the same time, then there's a good chance that, that you know exactly what the organ is that needs a, is compromised and needs a little extra support. And I am actually, as I was talking, I was seeing if I can locate those times. It's a Chinese clock that's been in use many, many, many years by practitioners that are able to, when a patient says, this is the time when I is my downtime, that tells them what the organ is that's compromised. And Jane, I'm trying to, as we're just speaking out loud here, wondering where I can find, I've written that down.
Well, you made me think of something I should ask, because I just decided to try going to acupuncture, and I went to an acupuncture, Chinese acupuncture doctor last week, and I didn't tell her that, so.
Oh, tell her that, because she'll know exactly what that means. And what I'll promise to do, oh, here it is. So this is in the afternoon, not the nighttime?
No, afternoon.
Well, I've got a.m. times that are listed, but there are times in the afternoon. If I had to guess, I think it might be the gallbladder, but I have to say I'm not sure. So the next time you go to your acupuncturist, say the downtimes for me are between, it sounded like in the early afternoon. Give her the precise times, and she'll be able to tell you, okay, that's the organ that we need to support, and then she can put the acupuncture needles in the meridian for that organ.
Okay. Well, she has a tester thing that she used for the first time and did a pretty thorough analysis of the organs that are compromised. Of course, it's the liver.
Yeah, it could be. That's what will come up, too, for the time. So so that tells you just additional confirmation that that's the organ that's compromised. That's the organ that needs a little extra support. And the liver, of course, is what removes the toxins. And so there's some support the body needs to be able to facilitate the release of more toxins, which is what acupuncture is really great at doing.
Well, that's why I decided to try some acupuncture, because I'm doing pretty well, but I just feel tired. And so
that's a liver issue. That's definitely a liver.
And if I exercise, in some ways I feel better.
Right, and that is what happens with exercise, is exercise boosts the mitochondria at the cellular level. And so a lot of people don't realize when they're feeling really lethargic, if they can just get up enough oomph to go out and get a little exercise, they will have more energy. But sometimes it's impossible. You're so wiped out, you just can't even move. So it doesn't work for some people. But that's what exercise will always do. It boosts the best mitochondria booster that exists.
I've been finding that I used to get up and do yoga in the morning, and now the yoga is not exactly working for me right now. I get up and I take a walk up and down my block, which has a lot of trees on it. And that's the best way to get me out in the morning. Because otherwise I'll just lay around in bed and wonder if I'm going to tremor.
Oh, right. So get up and do that. And what kind of shoes do you wear when you're out in that place near nature?
I just wear regular walking shoes.
You know, what you might consider, since you know the nature is so helpful, is one of the people of the many that I've interviewed is Randy Eady, who's a reflexologist. And Randy had this very strong recommendation for persons experiencing Parkinson's symptoms to obtain these shoes that have, they look like they have separate toes and they're flexible. There's a name for the shoes that I can't really quite recall. But you basically wear them as shoes, and yet they are able to allow you to have direct contact of the soles of your feet with the earth, rather than having a barrier that exists when you have anything like shoes or running shoes or shoes that have, you know, big bottoms to them. So you might just go to a shoe store and see if you can't talk with them about one of these new shoe devices. And again, I can't remember the name of them, but I think they're called toe shoes. Again, where they have separate little homes there for each of your toes, and they're flexible. And they look a little bit rubbery. I don't know what they're actually made out of, but you might consider something like that when you're out walking. That you might even get a bigger boost of your energy if you do that.
But I need hiking shoes to do my hikes. I wouldn't feel comfortable with the flexible shoes. I've seen those shoes.
Oh, you have. Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to hike in situations where you need a sturdier shoe, but maybe there are places where you can go on short distances and wear those, or just wear them around.
I'll check it out. The other, briefly, because it's late here, and also is that what I've been doing is, like, in the afternoon when I have those downtimes, I just decide to give myself a break and say, okay, is this one of those downtimes and it's going to pass? And keep focused on doing positive things, like I'm going into the recording studio to record the song that I'm going to send to you.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful. And that'll pick it up, energy up immediately when you begin to focus on what you love to do. That sounds like a wonderful strategy.
So, I mean, it feels like I'm chipping away at stuff, and in a way that, because I started some therapy and I started looking at some causative issues. And so maybe that's also bringing a lot of stuff up.
Right.
But you know what I was going to say regarding your the 14 Steps Recovery? I miss the twice weekly. I'm thinking about doing it again just to do twice weekly check-ins.
Oh, why not? Please do. I would love to connect with you. Yes, and you get to hear from everybody else too, find out what they're doing. So we get to know each other really well when we do that.
Right, and also because I'm going to be traveling in June, and so I could probably check in from there, and it might be helpful. So I think I'll do that.
Oh, that would be
wonderful. And I encourage everybody to do the 14 Steps to Recovery because it's a wonderful course.
Oh, thank you, Jane. That's very kind.
So anyway, that's my report for now. I'm trudging along the road. Trudging meaning walking with purpose.
Exactly. You're making such wonderful decisions for yourself, and you clearly are solidly journeying down the road to recovery.
I don't know how clear it is, but...
Well, yeah, the road may not be straight, but you're on the right road. There's no doubt about that.
Well, thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Jane, for being there for us and everybody here as a part of the support group this month. So, Cherie, is that you? Hello.
Hello, Trey.
Trey, hi.
Yeah. Hello. How you been, Robert?
Well, pretty well. And my apologies, I can never seem to be able to pronounce your name correctly.
No,
my whole life I've had problems with pronunciation, and so here it comes up to fro.
With that, you're part of a wonderful group of people.
Right.
A lot of people can't pronounce it.
Right.
Okay.
Well, then at least I'm a part of a good group of people who have the same problem. So what's up with you?
I wanted to affirm the last lady. I think music is such a gift, and it can just change your attitude and your outlook so much.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful tool, as well as just fun.
Yes. And that's what you've discovered.
Well, I guess so. I'm certainly not the first to discover it, but it's certainly a true truism.
Oh, yeah. I really think sound therapy is one of the medicines of the future. I really do. One of the medicines of the future. There's a a focused ultrasound therapy that was invented by some Israel researchers that's approved now in several countries. But that's sound therapy. They basically use an MRI to focus the sound to the substantia nigra, and some people have gotten some really wonderful results. So it's not surgery, it's not medicines, it's sound, and it's really showing to have some wonderful results. So I think, you know, down the road in the decades ahead, we're gonna learn about more and more therapies that use sound and light.
Great. I can't imagine. For a while, I really think that my biggest jewel is just outlook. I really think that a lot of what we suffer is because of our outlook, and we can choose to look at the good things in life. I have a trouble with my voice because I used to be a good singer, and I got to realizing the other day that, well, it began with what was the lady's name that did The Sound of Music? Julie Andrews?
Oh, Julie Andrews, yeah.
Well, she can't sing anymore.
Yeah.
And Beethoven lost his ability to hear, and Monet couldn't paint, and they lost so much that I really haven't lost that much. Help put perspective on it.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to say. I think Mozart was deaf. You know, all of these people who've done these amazing things had these incredible handicaps.
Yeah.
Well, do you feel like your voice has been getting a little stronger or weaker over time? Or how is that sorting out for you?
What I really need, I think, is to strengthen my core so I can hold on to breath longer. What's hard for me is projecting. So.
Yeah.
And I understand that Pilates is for your core.
It is. Are you doing that?
No, because I had a hip replacement, and it hurts when I move it. So.
Oh, right.
I don't know enough.
So probably not the best therapy for you right now.
Not right now, I don't think.
Right.
But it'll come. It'll come. And I just finished a book that I've sent off for a proof book for it. It's called Three Gifts to Give Your Aching Heart. And the three
really?
Gifts are comfort.
Uh-huh. So is that going to be out soon?
Yes, on Amazon.
Oh, wonderful.
Not quite. I have to look at the proof first to make sure that everything came out on the right page.
Yeah,
but,
right. Okay, well, now you need to send me a notice when that's released so I can put it out to the entire audience and let everybody know it's available. This sounds wonderful. I want to read it.
Good. The three gifts are comfort. You have to comfort yourself, and courage, and joy. It's really a developing thing, I think.
Yeah.
At least that seems to me. And it's a journal.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. So, words of wisdom.
I hope so. There are a lot of quotes in there from wiser people than me. But,
well, I look forward to connecting with your book when you get it released. So be sure to let us all know, okay?
Okay, yeah, that was fun. Fun helps.
Wonderful.
I like to tell people when they ask how I am that I'm strong and happy. Sometimes it's easier to get to that, but I think at our core, that's who we really are.
Oh, it really is. When I first started doing research on Parkinson's, the first books that I wrote were about thoughts, about our own thoughts, about ourselves, about our health, about everything, because it seemed to me, just like you're saying, that that's really where it's at. Once we can realize that healing is all of a sudden on its right course.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's about all I have time to tell you right now.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And the exciting news about your book as well. That's wonderful to hear. I look forward to reading that soon. And we have one more. Whoops! We have one more caller, but it's anonymous and it's a web call. So I just tried to connect in to see if we can't say hello, but I'm not sure we'll be able to have a good connection. So I'm going to try one more time, see if we've got any noise or not. Hello? So we've got a big echo here, but I just want to say hello to someone who's called in from their probably computer. But I don't have your name, so I don't know who you are. So just want to say hello, connect in. Looks like we're not going to be able to connect, although we sure did try. Let me refresh the questions and see if we have any others here. Looks like we don't have any other questions that were actually submitted here on the page. So I think we've been able to then connect and address the subjects and the topics that we had to cover for our April support group meeting. Again, we'd love to have you join us for Giant Step for Recovery at that, certainly at that member rate, the discount rate. So before the course fails, if that's something you want to do, be sure to connect in and register for the course today. And the link is on the teleseminar page down at the bottom underneath the description of the page. It says Giant Leap for Recovery. So you just click on that and you'll be able to register for the course. And thank you all for connecting in to this April support group meeting. Be sure to check in with all the 12 member websites every day. It'll only take about 10 minutes and you'll get a chance to have a memory challenge, a problem to solve, a great joke to laugh at out loud so you can make dopamine a meditation. This week's meditations are about fungus of all things. But each week we have a different topic, a different set of thoughts to work with on all the kind of factors that are affecting the symptoms associated with a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And, of course, updates from me, all of our radio show interviews. We've had a number of questions about research on Parkinson's, and if you go to the radio show page, you'll see the large list of categories. So if you have an interest in learning more about any of those categories, you just click the category name, and you'll see all the program interviews that have spoke to that topic will be listed. For example, research on Parkinson's, you'll be able to pull up Richard Melvin's wonderful research immediately without any effort, without any looking. Folks who aren't members have to go to the public radio show page, and it can take sometimes hours to be able to find the right program. But we've got it all categorized for you right here. And that's what's happening here on, as you guessed it, the shores of the Puget Sound, where all of the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and, of course, all of the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you have connected in and joined as a Parkinson's Recovery member, that you and your family members indeed are on the road to recovery and doing exactly what needs to happen in order to bring your body back into a place of full balance and harmony. Look forward to connecting with you next week.